Hi, I'm Marty.
And I'm Jesse.
And we're Hearthstone Legal with your Toolbox Tuesdays. Podcast designed for builders, subcontractors, but also a little bit for homeowners. Jesse, episode one, what have we got coming up today?
We're going to take you through contracts. And what is or is not a contract.
Yeah, and why that's important.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
Hearthstone Legal presents a real talk of the good, the bad, and everything in between. For all things business and construction law, whether it's navigating a dispute, the QBCC, or guidance on a contract, we give you a rundown of some of the do's and the don'ts. These are digestible chats on topics that you might hear in our office of an afternoon. Daunting? Not anymore. Here's law clarified.
So, contracts, kind of important. I think the starting place for our first episode of Toolbox Tuesdays.
Yeah, I think it's important to dive right in to contracts, because what else is really the formation of building law?
Silence. This is Bob, the building god.
I think Bob's angry at us.
Oops, we better listen.
We'll hear him out this time.
Okay.
I have commandments to deliver to thee. You will abide by my commandments. Commandment 1. Thou shalt have a contract. Commandment 2. Thou shalt communicate with your client. Commandment 3. Thou shalt put your variations in writing. Commandment 4. Thou shalt apply for extensions of time. Commandment 5. Thou shalt bring the works to practical completion within the terms of the contract. Commandment 6. Thou shalt comply with the QBCC license requirements. Commandment 7. Thou shalt not do work for friends or on a handshake. Commandment 8. Thou shalt get your written variations signed. Commandment 9. Thou shalt not commit a substantial breach of the contract. Commandment 10. Thou shalt not delay in getting legal advice.
Well, thanks, Bob. I guess Bob wasn't happy with how much we rambled on the pilot episode. He just wants us to get straight down to business.
Helpful commandments from Bob there.
Yeah,
and maybe
that's
a good guide for us to talk about some of those today.
Yeah. I think that we'll deal with a lot of those issues in subsequent episodes. But I think today it's important to get the foundations right.
Yes.
And that often requires an elementary explanation of what contract is.
It does. So I'll leave that to you, having done law more recently than me, which was probably back in the time of the dinosaurs. But I think it's really important just to say we see a lot of clients who still don't have written contracts.
Yes.
And it's a big problem. Mm-hmm. It's not fatal, but it's a big problem.
Yes.
And this will be a running theme through our Toolbox Tuesdays. But I think what we really want to press upon people, obviously without giving legal advice, this is a general discussion, is that there are reasons why contracts are actually helpful. And we'll go through that today. But one of the bigger things is, as a licensed contractor, you are obligated to have a written contract.
Yes.
It's a QBCC requirement. Yeah. So let's get ourselves organised. Stop relying on handshakes, which we heard from Bob was another commandment. Don't rely on a handshake.
Yeah.
There are some really great contracts out there. You don't have to start from scratch.
That's right.
Not all contracts are created equal.
No.
And building contracts are quite specific contracts. Yes. But there's some fundamentals, and I'm going to leave that to you, Jesse, because you like the fundamentals. So for people who don't know, and hopefully most of our listeners do, fingers crossed, if not, that's what we're for, what is a contract?
I at a very basic level, contracts are something that we deal with every day.
They are.
Both personally and in our capacity as lawyers. A lot of people that aren't in the know with residential building and construction consider that building law is contract law.
Mm.
That's true for everything.
Yes.
Except criminal matters, but that depends on how you feel about a social contract. And that's getting way too abstract for what we're talking about here. But really what we're going to talk about is what is a contract at its fundamental level, because this will help you understand whether or not your problem is in relation to the contract that you have, or whether or not some separate agreement has somehow been formed over that period of time.
Mm.
So let's break it down. You get a contract. What type of contract is it? Like, it doesn't matter. Because a contract operates on four fundamental tenets. These do change slightly when you actually have the legal knowledge and capacity to understand how they change. But you need to know four things generally. So you have an offer. So I offer $5,000 to you to buy your car.
Oh, that's not a bad offer.
It is. You've got a nicer car than $5,000.
Thank you. Yes, I do.
You accept that. You say, I cracked the windshield, so sure, I'll take $5,000. Then you have consideration. I give you the $5,000.
I take the $5,000.
And then performance, I get the car.
Yes.
There are other requirements in car sales, and they vary state by state. I should note that. But at a very basic level, that's what a contract is.
Yes.
But they change.
They do change.
Perhaps in this discussion about the sale of the car, you've said to me, oh, yeah, I'll get the windows tinted. But in the document that's written up in relation to the sale, there's no reference to window tinting.
No, because I'm sneaky.
So the question is, does that form a part of your contract?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And the typical lawyer answer is, it depends.
Yes, it always depends.
Yeah, it's obnoxious. And then you would come and you would talk to us and you would say, well, this was a part of our agreement. I wanted the windows tinted for $5,000 and it wasn't in the written contract, so I only got the car. Mm. I'm really upset. And then we turn around and we say to you, well, how do you enforce that before the court? And the difficulty that you'll have is that oral agreements are hard to prove. It is often a battle of he said, she said.
Yes.
So when Bob says, get yourself a contract and get it written and get it signed, Bob is trying to look out for you.
Absolutely. And in building and construction, residential work, there are already some standard form contracts.
Yes.
You've got QBCC.
Yes.
You've got HIA. You've got Master Builders. All adequate contracts, all comply with the QBCC requirements, but all a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Some are weighted a little bit more towards a builder, some are weighted a little bit more towards a homeowner, but they cover all of those things.
Yes.
And if you're unsure about what contract to use, we can help you with that, but don't reinvent the wheel.
No. And don't overcomplicate your agreements.
Exactly.
Like, we have clients sometimes come to us and talk to us about separate management contracts. Or we have clients come to us and talk about ways that they can reduce costs for their clients in circumstances where they might not want to charge margins on certain goods or certain items. And what we find is it creates complicated relationships where the builder might be invoicing clients directly to have them pay for supplies. And then you have challenges because that's not what your written contract says.
Mm.
That's actually a separate agreement that's now forming in relation to the operation of this contract.
Absolutely.
And if there's nothing in writing, then the recovery options are limited.
We've had clients who said, oh, I was doing this portion of the work, and the owner came in and said, oh, you know, can you change my taps from the plain builder's range to, you know, sparkly gold, and they shoot out water and coffee.
Yes.
And I was in a rush, so I just did the work, and then afterwards the owner wouldn't pay.
Yes.
But they asked for that. I should get paid for that. Well, did they ask for that? Yes. We don't know. And of course, savvy owners, no offence, often are going to say, oh, no, I didn't agree to that.
Yes.
And variations is a whole nother topic which we'll talk about. I think the important thing is, once you've got a contract, they are fluid.
Yes.
And what I mean by that, Jesse, is not the terms of the contract are fluid, because obviously they're in black and white, But things change throughout the life of a build. And so often it's important to make amendments to that contract if it's necessary. You might also anticipate that there's going to be some changes to the contract, and you might put in some special conditions. Yes. We have quite a few clients who ask for some special conditions.
Yes.
And that's really relevant, I think, in this particular climate where there's a lot of uncertainty about materials and uncertainty about build times in the in the construction industry.
And it's important to get the right contract for your build.
Absolutely.
So in context of what we're doing for builders, there are different types of contracts that we use for different projects. If you're building a house from scratch, you can get away with using a new home construction contract because the steps are pretty much the same every single time.
Exactly.
If you are doing a multi-level renovation of a property somewhere in inner city Brisbane and you need to lift houses and you need to do significant excavation work, a new home's construction contract isn't going to get it. And the problem that they also have with that is if you're renovating and you're doing things that aren't the normal building process or the standard building process, you need a way to keep yourself paid. And doing stage payment contracts in those situations are inappropriate.
Yes.
So what we say is that like all professionals, you need to know how to use what you have. And just like a boxer knows, for instance, when he's in the ring to keep his hands up, there's a difference between knowing that you need to keep your hands up and then instinctively being able to just do it. And that requires an intimate knowledge with your documents. And while we can appreciate that there are a lot of builders out there who are fantastic at their jobs, you have to know your documents to be a good business person.
Yeah, I've just recently had that conversation with a builder client who's used a particular contract for many, many years quite successfully, but just happened to have a very difficult situation. Yes. You know, an issue came up with an owner. And they're actually not familiar with the terms and the mechanisms in the contract that they have been using for years.
Yes.
And it is really important, you know, as lawyers, we have to read documents, lengthy documents all the time. We even think that it's boring sometimes.
Yes.
but if you are a builder, if you are a subcontractor and you use a particular contract over and over, take the time either to properly read it or to give it to someone else, like Hearthstone Legal, and we can give you a nice summary of what the terms mean and how they can protect you.
Yes. There's a lot of risk in signing a contract that you just don't understand. And it would be better to part with a couple of thousand dollars to help you understand it and how it operates. And you don't have to come to Hearthstone Legal, but I'm telling you to come to Hearthstone Legal.
We'll look after you.
We'll look after you, probably. No, no, we will.
Definitely.
We'll take care of you. But it's worthwhile because you don't want to get 6-8 months into a build and you've gone to destination fucked. Shout out to my boy, Aussie Man. And what do you have to show for it? A document that is functionally useless for your particular circumstances and a document that you never took the time to understand how it operates.
Yes. Or, sorry to interject, document that you signed and understood, but then never bothered to comply with it because you just kind of went a bit rogue and went, oh, mate, she'll be right. Yes. I'll just do this. The owner's paying me for that. It's cool. We'll just keep going. Then you get to the end. Building a house is like a romantic relationship. It's all exciting at the start. You know, you're really interested and excited. This is going to be great. I'm dreaming about how fantastic this is going to be. And then there's some issues and it doesn't quite go the way that you want. And you have to, you know, you have to substitute some things or put up with some things that are less than ideal.
Yeah.
By the end, you're not in love with this person anymore.
No, you're just incredibly irritated and you're potentially stuck with them for the next 6.5 years, which is your defects period.
That's right.
And if you don't do anything, like it's a nasty divorce. Like, do you really want to have a small primary school child with this person? If the answer to that question is no, then you need to understand what your contract does, how a contract operates.
Yes.
And you need to understand what constitutes essentially consideration and performance.
Yes. The other thing I hear, you've probably heard as well.
Yes.
It's too much paperwork. I don't like paperwork.
Oh, yep.
Okay, we get it. We get it. What I would say to that, and feel free to
yes.
agree, disagree or add, is if you do it properly the first time,
yeah.
you're not going to have that issue. Secondly, have in place a process,
yes.
whether it's computer-based, AI-based, or whether yep. it's person-based. You have a really great receptionist, PA, whatever you want to call the person, support person, it might be your partner.
Yes.
You have someone in the background who is looking after that stuff, yes. making sure that it's done properly. Yes, it's a little bit annoying, but if you keep on top of it, things are going to go smoother.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It blows my mind. And you can also lean on technology a little bit with this.
Mm.
Like you can use like a service like DocuSign, for instance, to have those variations pushed out immediately. And we'll talk about that later. But really, there are a lot of tools that you have available to you that you just need to engage with.
Yes.
We're not in the 1970s. We're not in the 1980s. We're not dealing with bronze licenses or gold licenses anymore. We're dealing with in a highly sophisticated technological environment.
Mm.
And that means we need to elevate that as well.
Yes.
So while I can understand that old school produces some fantastic results in the house, old school does not produce fantastic results in the courtroom.
No.
And that's what we care about when we're helping you.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, we're just trying to mitigate your risk. And to mitigate that risk, you need to understand what a contract is and what a contract does.
Yeah, absolutely. And once that contract is signed, you know, you start building, you start moving forward in your new, exciting, building, romantic relationship. Where we see things go really wrong as well is communication.
Yes.
Now, not everyone is great at communicating.
Yes.
I get that. Some conversations are difficult to have. Sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, I can't get these beautiful tiles that you wanted for your custom bathroom because they're now out of stock.
Yes.
And they're not coming back. They're discontinued.
Yes.
Difficult conversation. But you've got to have them and you've got to have them early.
Yes.
Because
often that impacts your contractual rights.
Yes. Yep.
Often
and then
it does.
You get someone who's angry and upset and then there's a delay because you now have to get new tiles from
yeah.
some random place in Italy and it's going to take
yeah.
3 months to get here. And there are flow-on consequences
yeah.
for that.
And owners are more and more informed of their contracts these days.
Yes.
So it's very likely that they've read those terms and conditions very carefully. And if they can save a buck by challenging you on this and trying to force you to reduce or omit the cost, that argument is avoidable if you know how to raise your extension of the time and all those other things under the contract. So
yes.
it's really important. Know what your written document says.
Yes. There are also, as I understand it, some really good programs out there that allow people to communicate on like a forum with their builder.
Yes.
So there's updates about the job. They can ask questions.
Yes.
So that's really helpful as well, and I would encourage builders to look into that.
Yes.
Because that open communication and dialogue with your owner about things that are going on,
yes,
whether it's good or bad, just makes the whole process run smoother.
Yeah. And if you're worried that it is bad, get advice. I can't stress that enough. Sometimes, like I think that the caveat for that statement is if it actually is bad, you should probably talk to us because you might need to do things like extensions of time and variations and things like that. Pick up the phone. Hey, mate, this has happened.
Yep. Have a quick chat about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's fine. That's a 10 to 15 minute conversation at most.
Mm.
And what have you just done? You've saved yourself about a week, maybe 2 weeks of drama.
Exactly. And possibly saved yourself from not getting paid.
Yeah.
And which is a big issue.
Yeah. You don't want to get $500,000 into a $700,000 contract and then only receive $500,000.
Mm. Yep. Absolutely.
It's not good. And so that's why we say you use the proper contract, but you also make sure that you shouldn't be forming different contractual arrangements in that process.
Mm.
And so just looping back,
briefly. It's the things like the, oh, well, I just want to do construction management on this one. Well, no, are you a builder in this job? Because if you're a builder in this job, then maybe your construction management contract isn't actually appropriate if you're doing all of the work anyway.
Mm.
So maybe the answer isn't to use a QC1 contract for a new home. Maybe you're doing a cost-plus contract. You get more profit out of it, usually, with the margin being higher. But there's a little bit more freedom and flexibility in terms of the reference of payment and schedules and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
So it's important. Understand your contract. Don't form competing collateral agreements.
Yes. And don't rely on the goodwill or good nature of homeowners when you're all happy and in love.
Yeah.
Because it's more than likely going to go a bit bad at the end.
Yeah. As Jamie Foxx and Kanye West said, holla, we want prenup. Consider that your contract is your prenuptial agreement. It's not about when things go well. It's about when things go wrong.
Yes.
So failing to plan is planning to fail.
Yeah. Oh, that is a very good motto. Very good. The one thing we haven't touched on, and I think we should just mention it quickly, because this would be a whole nother two podcasts, I think.
Yes.
Is our subcontractor clients.
Yes.
It's also really important to have a subcontract agreement.
Yes.
So if you're a builder and your best mate is a great tiler and you've been working together for years and years and years, that's all well and good. Look, it can work.
Yes.
We have seen it work. We've also seen it go really bad.
Yes.
There are different options for formally engaging that subcontractor. If you are a subcontractor, and I've seen this many years ago, the subcontract agreements that these guys get are, you know, from the big builders on big sort of commercial multi-story units, it's inches thick.
Yes.
Even I would fall asleep reading it. It's very complicated. But again, having a contract means that you as the builder or the subcontractor
know
what your obligations are, know what's expected of you, know how to recover payments if you need to.
Yes.
There's a mechanism for that.
Yes.
So having those subcontract agreements, I think, is also very important.
Like, I think it's important, as well as a sidestep for that issue, is to note that you are a subcontractor, which means you're likely not invoicing large amounts of money. You could be invoicing in residential spaces anywhere between $1,500 upwards to $20,000, $30,000. If you're not getting paid as a subcontractor by that builder and you don't have a written subcontracted agreement, recovery options become much more difficult for you.
So limited.
Now, you have to go usually through either a court process, or you need to go through a building industry and fairness payment process. Now, we call it the BIF Act.
We do. Because it is kind of like having a bit of a punch on fire.
Yeah, it is kind of having a bit of a punch on because it's a statutory mechanism there. It's meant to get subcontractors paid. But the truth is to navigate it, you need to engage lawyers. And a lot of lawyers will charge you essentially what your invoice is. And there's nothing that we can do about it. We don't specialise in BIF for that reason.
We don't.
It's not a cost-effective solution for our clients who are trying to recover.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, don't rely on statutory mechanisms like BIF when you can just put in a 5-6-page contract, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, to ensure that the agreement that you have with your mate, the best tiler in southeast Queensland, the best roofer in Brisbane, make sure that when things go sour, you've got something there that just says, well, we can or we can't do this.
That's exactly right.
Because it's one, like, we understand that things get emotionally charged in disputes, and we're no stranger to that. It happens to us professionally and personally.
It does.
And it's unavoidable. But the easiest way to avoid it is, this is what this says.
Yes. Yep. So, that's the first two commandments sorted in podcast one. Thou shalt have a contract and thou shalt communicate with your client.
Yes. That's pretty good.
That is actually pretty good.
Wonder if Bob will get us anything.
I don't know.
We've just got to enact Bob's will at this point.
We do. We do.
At this point.
So, I think we should start a routine of wrapping up with a random fact.
Oh, I like that.
You like that?
I'll try and keep it PG.
I have a random fact that's actually quite relevant to the hike that I've just come back from. I did a charity hike for UN Women Australia. It was in Tasmania. It was very cold. Beanies, gloves, you know, the full thermals, everything. Did you know, Jesse, it is illegal to hike naked in Switzerland?
That's a shame. That just crosses off my honeymoon plans, I guess.
Oh, dear.
Cross Switzerland off the list.
Anyway, jeez. I thought not that you would want to hike naked in Switzerland. Well, because
just imagine the chafe.
It would be cold as well. Oh, terrible. Yeah.
No.
Not
you,
for me.
You can't get me walking up any sort of like any incline. I'm not there.
Clothed or naked.
Clothed or naked. I'd rather just install an elevator. I know a guy. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Is he licensed?
Yes. No, actually, he's not. He's just a guy. I just shook his hand.
Oh, excellent.
It cost me $30,000.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't even need a quote. He sorted me out.
Oh, amazing.
That is an example of what not to do.
Yes. Obviously. Can I just refer you to episode one of our podcast, please?
Yeah. Okay, I'll watch it right after this.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. Well, that's it for Toolbox Tuesdays today. Episode one done. We will see you or speak to you next week on episode two.
Jeez. Look forward to it and tune in.
Thank you.